Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of the JMRA podcast, coming to you from the Joe Montana's Right Arm Studios. Well, I don't know if I'd describe this as a studio. It's more like a room with a bookcase in it. But we'll call it a studio just to make it sound more snazzy. Anyhow, I'm your host, Joe Montana's Right Arm, as we bring you the newest edition of the JMRA podcast. Let's give you the rundown on social media. At Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter. You can find us there, of course, on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com, and a lot of other options as well in the social media landscape, Facebook, Vine, all kinds of stuff. So we're out there, and we're out there to give you the best in NFL news. And I got to be honest, right now, as we talked about in the last podcast, we're entering that kind of dead time a little bit. Free agency is more or less over, like the good stuff anyways, and we kind of are in a holding pattern really until the draft takes place, or somebody does something totally irrational and stupid. But until that happens, things a little bit quiet on the NFL landscape. However, I will tell you, help may be on the way, because March 20th through the 23rd, the owners' meetings taking place, where they are going to discuss some new rule changes. And these rule changes, some of them range from rather logical to kind of dumb. And let's run through quickly here. They're actually, by last check, about 14 proposed rule changes that are getting what I would call serious heat. As far as maybe happening. Now, first thing you got to remember is, for any rule in the NFL to get passed, it has to be approved by 24 of the league's 32 owners. So that's not like winning a vote 51 to 49%. Like, you have to get decisive victory in terms of getting a rule change. So A couple of these random rules: touchbacks no longer at the 20-yard line. They would be moved to the 25-yard line instead of the 20 after a touchback. Fine, take it, no problem. Make the extra point rule permanent. I'm all for this. It really, I mean, you can make the case, if you're a Patriots fan, that extra point rule may have cost you another trip to the Super Bowl. Because if that's a regular old extra point, they still may be playing in Denver. I mean, that's how that game was going. So I think it's cool that kickers are kind of held accountable now for the extra point, and it's not a gimme. Because you look at it now, it's a 33-yard extra point. That's what it is. So you would think kickers would be able to deal with that. Some, not so much. One of the more controversial ones, and Richard Sherman actually came out on Sunday and ripped this to shreds apparently: automatic ejection for any player who receives two personal foul penalties in one game. Now, I like that only if the personal foul penalties are reviewable. So I think that's the thing. If there's an automatic ejection for any player who gets two, I think it should be reviewable. I like that rule. And that's actually one of the addendums that's been put on to the automatic ejection rule, according to what the Redskins are asking for. They want that to be thrown in as well, that personal fouls could be reviewed and potentially overturned. If that's the case, then you can't go back in there. So let's say you're looking at a play and you see some guy gets punched in the groin and you didn't call it. Like, you can't call that then, you know? Chop blocks, illegal. All chop blocks should be illegal. That's stupid. Each team gets 3 challenges per game. I'm okay with that. But, I mean, if you win, I think you should get something for winning all of your challenges. So that's the thing. If you win all 3 challenges, you should get a 4th. I don't know why you'd really need to use 4 challenges throughout the game, but, you know. All plays can be challenged. I don't like that, because it would just take forever to play the game. I know Bill Belichick has been a big proponent of every play being challengeable, but you can't challenge things like holding calls. Like, you can't challenge that stuff. To me, the game will take forever to get played. The Peyton Manning rule, where you try to cheat your opponent by sliding and then getting up and throwing the ball to a wide open receiver. Yeah, I like that rule. Please change that. The Ravens, we mentioned this on the blog earlier this week, the Ravens want basically players to wear what is amount to a jersey penny based off of whether or not you're eligible or ineligible. So if you're wearing, like, let's say you're an ineligible player, but you're a running back, you should be wearing a number of it, like an offensive lineman. Or if you're a tight end and you're deemed ineligible, you should be wearing the number of an offensive lineman. Like, that's crazy. Or if you're an offensive lineman, like, you're all of a sudden wearing number 83 if you're deemed an eligible receiver. Like, that's stupid. Come on. This is not flag football. Leave it to the Ravens. Still bitter. Still bitter about losing to the Patriots in the playoffs two postseasons ago. Get rid of overtime in preseason games. Amen. That needs to go. Why they're playing overtime in preseason games anyways is crazy. Let's see what else we have here. Expanding the intentional grounding rule. No problem with that. I think that needs to be expanded. There are too many like Russell Wilson. If you've ever watched Russell Wilson games at length, that guy gets away with more plays that should be called intentional grounding than any quarterback I can ever remember. Add penalty yards to the distance needed for a first down. Okay, so what the Chiefs are saying is this. So let's say you get a holding penalty at your own 10-yard line, okay? It gets moved back 5 yards, and then it becomes a penalty where it's first and 15 from your 5. So you have to get to 20. What their proposal is this. You would take the 5 yards back, but it's still first and 20 because it's a 10-yard penalty. So instead of, so you're not really getting penalized much if you're just losing half the distance to the goal line. So in a way, it sort of works out even though you're backed up. I actually like that one. That's a good job by the Chiefs. I like that rule. Elsewhere, increasing the amount of active players on game day. It's a 53-man roster. You can only activate 46 guys. This would move the number to 48. The Redskins have a, they're in like half the mentions here of the rule changes. Eliminate one of the NFL cut days and allowing coaches and players to watch video on the sideline. Like, why aren't they already doing that now? Like, they should be doing that. Like, if you're going to give somebody a tablet just to look at pictures, that seems kind of useless. Like, give them the tablet to watch videos. It's not really a distinct competitive advantage because you only have but so much time to process that stuff. Just give them the video. Jesus. I mean, as much as they make fans pay for that all access and all 22 stuff, hell, make them, give the teams a video, please. Jesus. Elsewhere, in news that is more related to NFL coaches directly, Chip Kelly. Boy, man, I'm glad Chip Kelly's not the Eagles head coach anymore. Word came out this week of what Chip Kelly's proposed trade idea was to the Tennessee Titans for Marcus Mariota in last year's 2015 NFL draft. So if you remember, the Titans had the number 2 pick. Jameis Winston went 1 to Tampa Bay. Here's what Chip Kelly wanted to send to Tennessee for Marcus Mariota. The 2015 first and second round picks for the Eagles. Okay, fair enough. Makes total sense. 2016 first round pick. All right, makes sense. Here's where things get a little wacky. He told Tennessee you could have any quarterback on the roster. And by any quarterback, that probably means Sam Bradford, because why in the hell would you want Mark Sanchez as your quarterback if you're also considering taking Marcus Mariota? It doesn't make any sense to me. And any defensive player on the roster. Any defensive player on the roster. Let me repeat for the third time. Any defensive player on the roster. Which means Tennessee could have said, okay, we want Fletcher Cox, one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. Had the Eagles given away that much, there would have been a mutiny of mammoth proportions in Philadelphia. Like, you're getting a quarterback by severing much of the rest of the organization. Look at the Redskins. Look at all those guys they traded for RG3. I believe it's something like 9 guys it got turned into. 9 players. How'd that work out? He's visiting Cleveland now. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I'm glad Chip Kelly's out of Philly. My God. Had they made that deal, I thought for sure that they were going to make a little bit of a harder push, but at least publicly. But man, they did not do it publicly. Instead, it came out now, and boy, what a disaster that would have been. Ugh. So, it is time to transition now to something totally different. Okay, remember, since we're in kind of down cycle of the NFL season, not as much NFL stuff going on, not a lot of bountiful, juicy stories out there. So what we're doing now is jumping into something a little off the beaten track, and that, this time around, is the NCAA tournament. That's right, March Madness has begun, and I'll tell you, I've already checked out mentally because for a couple reasons. Number one, one of my part-time jobs is to kind of track Ivy League basketball. So the team that I follow is not in the NCAA tournament, so whatever. But the bigger factor is I picked Michigan State to win it all, and they lost on day one of the tournament. So, nah, my interest in the tournament has really shrunk significantly. So, yeah, not really feeling the rest of the tournament. It looks like a pretty cool field that's left, obviously. You have North Carolina still around. Villanova slaughtered Iowa today. So a lot of great stuff going on. The game, the reason I'm bringing up the NCAA tournament, though, is not about what's coming up, not about the Sweet 16, not about the Elite Eight or the Final Four or the national title game. I want to talk about one game that made me just angry. Okay, now, as I mentioned, I get down with Ivy League schools. One of the teams that I've watched throughout the year was Yale. And as you know, Yale played Duke on Saturday in the second round of the tournament. I got to tell you, I've been on Twitter for a lot of sporting events. This may have been the single most annoying Twitter event maybe of all time. Because first of all, you got all the guys, you know, you guys making these stupid jokes about boat shoes and preppy clothes and how smart these two schools are and how all the chess passes are going to be super stiff. Like, guys, we got it. After about 30 minutes of everyone figuring out it was Yale versus Duke, everyone's telling the same stupid five jokes. Like, we get it. They're smart. They make money. Their students are rich. We got it, okay? You don't have to keep saying it from the lead up to the game all the way through the final buzzer of the game. Let's read some of these tweets because, like I said, this was pretty stupid. And I just want to share the stupidity with you. The most disappointing thing about this was these were coming from, like, certified accounts. These were people who were certified by Twitter. Like, you can't be funnier than this. But anyways, here's one. Yale versus Duke pairs well with hummus and a crisp Chardonnay. Oh boy, I almost fell out of my chair laughing at that one. Here's another one. Duke and Yale sending each other a message. Quote, hi, I'd like to add you to my professional network on LinkedIn. I mean, this is the level of stuff that we're doing here. Let's keep going. Like 70% of the Yale players will graduate and go to work at an investment firm named Grayson Allen. Boy, I wonder how long they stayed up. It probably took 24 hours to come up with that one. Here's another one. Yale can't buy a three, which is strange. Normally, Yale students can buy whatever they want! Exclamation point. Oh, my God. I mean, and that got 268 retweets. Like, are we that desperate for comedy? Jesus. Here's another one. To stay with Duke, Yale needs to focus on its strengths. Compelling personal essays and recommendations from former government officials. Like, there are people making six figures tweeting these jokes. I mean, this is stupid. Stupid. If this was a yacht race, Yale would be dominating. The consolation prize for these Yale kids is that one of them is going to lay you and me off one day. Oh, my God. I mean, the jokes are just, they're just dumb. The only one I thought was, that was kind of funny was, Barstool Sports, actually there are two, Barstool Sports had a Vine of a Caucasian gentleman dressed up in like boat shoes, khakis, like a shirt and tie and a blazer dancing to rap music. Like, that's funny. That to me is kind of funny. The other one was Rembert Brown who said, Yale makes Duke look like Freaknik. Now, that's funny to me. Many of you may not know what Freaknik is. Freaknik is an event that takes place down in Atlanta with, like, a lot of the historically black colleges and universities. Like, that, to me, is funny. But you have to, like, understand the context of it to be funny. Other than that, I thought all the jokes sucked. Because all the jokes were the same jokes that were being told from the end of Thursday's games all the way through the end of the Duke-Yale game. Like, guys, shut the F up. It's not funny. It's not funny. I can't. And it's probably annoying me because I watch Ivy League basketball unlike three quarters of the country. Probably more than that. But I understand why you got to make your funny jokes and all that stuff. It's stupid. After the 50th time, it's not funny anymore. Come up with new material. All right, lastly, time to shift gears here to a new feature, the bad movie of the week. I love wasting time watching bad movies. I have, like, HBO, Showtime, Stars, all these crazy movie channels. So I almost would rather watch a bad movie from, like, 20, 30 years ago than watch, like, the Kevin Spacey show, State of the Union, or House of Cards, that's what it is, House of Cards. I'd rather watch a terrible movie than watch something like that. It just, I don't know, there's something about bad movie making that is funny. And I don't think the people making the movie mean for it to be bad, it's just how it happens, it's how it turns out. So this week's recommendation, by the way, you can easily watch it on YouTube. I'm going to try to come up with one each time that you can easily access and watch rather than have to, like, spend money on it. So a lot of these movies are out there. You can watch them, and it's pretty entertaining. The first one is from 1987. It's called Penitentiary 3. Now, you may be wondering, hey, how come you didn't recommend Penitentiary 1 or 2? We're going to get to that in a second. But Penitentiary 3 centers around a boxer by the name of Too Sweet. Yes, Too Sweet is the boxer's name. Now, he has a regular street name, but he is known in the ring as Too Sweet. So the story of Too Sweet has evolved from Penitentiary 1 and 2, where he was put in jail for doing... So I don't even remember Penitentiary 1 all that well. But he was put in jail. And while he was in prison, he had to deal with this guy named Half Dead, who was trying... I couldn't tell what Half Dead was trying to do in the first two movies. Like, it looked like he was trying to kill him because he wouldn't have sex with him. Like, that's weird to me, man. So, Too Sweet wouldn't get down with Half Dead, so Half Dead tried to kill him. Basically, that's the theme from the first two penitentiaries. If you have a chance to watch one or two, I believe those are on YouTube as well. But they're actually somewhat entertaining, to be honest with you. But it's like a bad entertaining. Penitentiary 3 is just a terrible movie. And it starts from the opening sequence. So we get coming out of 2, right? Too Sweet is a world champion in boxing. So he has now made a lot of money, and he's defending his title against a gentleman who they say in the film is one of his best friends. So, at some point, these dudes in the fight spike Too Sweet's water with something. If I'm ruining the plot for you, I apologize. It's almost 30 years old, so you'll get over it. So they spike Too Sweet's water in between rounds. So when he drinks this water, he basically becomes this stone-cold killer. Now, think of a lightweight version of Ivan Drago. So if you remember in Rocky IV, which I think totally, if you watch this, it's almost ripping off Rocky IV to a slight degree. So they give him the drink, and he just turns into this lunatic where he keeps punching the guy. He's throwing, like, and he's not just, like, standing punching. He's, like, jumping in the air and throwing punches. He's, like, punching the guy in the ropes. It's crazy. So eventually they have him put in jail because he kills the guy in the ring. So as we learn to find out, he was set up and put in jail because this dude played by Tony Geary, named Serengeti, wanted him put in prison, I presumably to make money for him or something. That's not totally spelled out as clear as it should have been. Anyhow, if you don't know who Tony Geary is, Tony Geary played Luke Spencer on the soap opera General Hospital from like 1981, actually probably back in the 70s. So like the late 70s all the way through, I think, until late 2015. So he had played more or less a good guy for his entire run on the soap opera. He took a break to start acting in movies. His movie choices were terrible. So he did this movie, and the movie, I think it came out right around this time in that 86, 87, 88 window called Disorderlies, where he was playing another villain in the film. And he was playing a villain against the then famous rap group, the Fat Boys. So this movie, with that kind of planted in the back of my mind, this is already an awful movie. So Geary is playing this guy, Serengeti. He's a mob boss or whatever. Too Sweet is not about what this guy wants to do. So Serengeti sends this midget in to beat him up. And you're like, how is a midget going to beat up this guy? The midget is named the Midnight Thud. The Midnight Thud is there to inflict pain and probably kill Too Sweet in prison. So for a good 10 minutes, there is a fight between Too Sweet, played by Leon Isaac Kennedy, and the Midnight Thud, who, if you're a professional wrestling fan, you know who the Midnight Thud is. It's the wrestler Little Haiti, who was big in the mid-80s. He had his head shaved by Roddy Piper and Bob Orton on television, and he was hanging around with Mr. T. So he's actually the Midnight Thud. The fight scene is ridiculous. Then, somehow, like, look, I'll be honest with you, man. Knock on wood, I hope this never happens to me or to any of you. But if, like, some dude tries to step to you and fight you or kill you, like, I'm not going to become friends with the guy. That's basically what happens in this movie. So if you get a chance, check out Penitentiary 3. You will either thank me for it or hate me, one or the other. It is a terrible, terrible movie. One of the worst movies of the 1980s. And it's incredible to say that because Penitentiary 1 and 2 are not great films. But they're entertaining, at least. This was not entertaining. It was boring, too. That's what made it even worse. So once you get past that fight scene, like, there's another climactic fight scene at the end of the film. But other than that, man, it's just, it's, oh. I don't know where they went wrong here, besides, like, the casting and everything else. Anyhow, that'll do it for this week's edition of the JMRA Podcast. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Taking a little bit of a break from the blog as of late because of my work schedule. I was down in Blacksburg, Virginia last week covering some basketball and been all over the place with games. So the blogging action has slowed down a little bit, but we're going to get back on the horse as we get closer and closer and closer to the draft and things pick up around the NFL. And hey, WrestleMania season is coming too. So, well, actually, it's not coming, it's here. So we'll be doing some wrestling-centric stuff too on the blog to celebrate the biggest wrestling event maybe of all time that will take place at AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. Jerry World, a.k.a. home of the Dallas Cowboys. Should be great. JoeMontanasRightArm.com, on Twitter, at JoeM'sRightArm, on Facebook, JoeMontanasRightArm as well. All kinds of great stuff headed your way over the next few weeks and the foreseeable future on the blog. That'll do it for the podcast. Until next time, happy football, everybody.